let us begin. Okay, I jotted down a few short things from the Sefer Sha'ara Yimei HaPurim. We're continuing from yesterday from Rav Tezner, Rav Yehuda Tezner, a couple of things which caught my attention. I found to be chidushim new yidis in Yoni Purim. Okay, tefillin. Is it proper to wear tefillin during the letting of the Megillah during the day? Should you keep your tefillin on for the letting of the Megillah? It's a long thing in the Megillah. It can take 40 minutes. It can take an hour. It depends where you go. If you're lucky, it can take 20 minutes. Well, not so lucky. How long does it take? They don't clap for Haman in the morning. So it depends. So, should you wear a B'ruzal L'char? Of course you should be wearing your tefillin because you're not supposed to take your tefillin until the end of davening, in Echnami. But some people say no, but it's very hard because you have a gufnok, you have to be nizer in the kedusha of tefillin, so it's an exception, you can take it off. If, let's say you go to a very slow Megillah laning, you know, 45 minutes. It's a long time to keep your tefillin 45 minutes. So the answer is, L'chatchila, you should. Because of the pasuk, Vayehudim Moisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sason V'Kar, V'Kar Elu HaTfilin. And since you're actually going to be saying that pasuk when you are reciting the Megillah, it's the proper thing that you should practice what you preach. Just like we know, there's a halacha, there's a very important halacha that you're not supposed to be saying Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin. There's an exception that if you don't have tefillin, the Zman Kriya Shema is passing, and you don't have tefillin, so you can go and you can recite Kriya Shema with the kavan that you will later in the day put on tefillin. But l'chatchila, a person should be wearing tefillin when he says the pasuk shartam l'osal yodecha v'hayu l'totof ospinenecha. So it's no different than when you recite la'yehudu ma'isara v'simcha v'sasin v'ikar, that the tefillin should be when you make out, but as Lila's loves man tefillin. Slav's man tefillin, Lila. It's not as chomor. First, it's not as chomor because it's not explicit. I can't wait to see your Shulchan Aruch. But, okay, next. Matanos Levyoinim. Okay, he says something here, Dvarm Shutim Ad Ma'od. He has a Seder. Who has Kedima for Matanos Levyoinim? So Dvarm Shutim, charity starts at home. The one that has Kedima are relatives. Relatives that don't press that sting, Cheshbon, is who to give the money to. Sometimes people have their own. What?
If they're
Avyon. If they're people in their own backyard, they in their own family, Karov Kaidem. And after a person's own relatives, there are people that are local, people that are in the neighborhood, in the community, and according to most poskim, the Aniye Ircha come before Aniye Eretz Yisrael. According to men. Ani Yerushalayim, it's not so simple. Not so simple. Who has Kedima?
But that's a general,
exactly. But it applies to Matanos Levyonim as well. Matanos Levyonim, this is not stuck. Matanos Levyonim is a special din. It's a din. The money must be l'chatchila should be distributed on Purim itself, and you should give the person. You don't have to give him. You know, give him something which l'chatchila was meant to be used on Purim, but he doesn't have to use it. If you'll give him money, and the money theoretically he can use the money to buy a suda. Somebody already has a suda as Purim. Either so, we'll keep the money for a rainy day. He'll keep the money for Pesach. He'll keep the money for the entire year. But it has Matanos Levyonim has a different set of rules. But one thing it does have the halacha that Aniyei Ircha Kaidem, all those same rules do apply. Okay.
The reason is because it's Nahapahu. If you have a brother who is an Ani, you're not supporting him all year. So how come Purim you're going to support him?
The Nahapahu.
Because normally you wouldn't give him the money, but Purim,
all right,
you do it. You know,
next thing, this thing is an old thing. Mishloch manos ish lireyehu. Who, if you only have limited time to bring mishloch manos or limited resources to deliver mishloch, to give mishloch manos, should you give mishloch manos to your best friend, or is it better to give mishloch manos to people that you're not such good friends with? Maybe you're even your enemies. A time to make peace. It's now time to make peace between our enemies. And so some argue that's the Iker Mishalach Manos, that you should invest your time and effort on Purim to make new friends, to go to people who you're not so close with, and to give them a gift, and somehow bridge the gap and bring them close. This is one Mahalach that Rav Tezner is a strong proponent of that. That's the Iker Mishalach Manos, to be Marba, Ava, V'Achva, V'Reyes, among Klal Yisrael. Now, I don't see it here, but I remember learning this last year, and I spoke to you about last year, they are posting that Mamish disagree 100%. The time to make peace between people that you're not friendly with is on Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a halacha, you should be with this, even the pasuk, you should ask mechila, you should go to your enemies and the people you can give them presents, do whatever it takes in order to make peace. Purim Adrab, this is a shocking chiddush, is a time to bring Mashalach Manos to your best friends. Shazach Chazal say, Ein Mizorzin Ela Limizuras. You only give chizuk, you only give kar chizuk to people that are anyway zrizim. A person that's a zoris, he's always on target. To him, you give mechazik him to make him even better. A person that's always a shemazel, that's an otzel, don't waste your time. Purim is a time mishloach manos ish lirei'ehu, to give gifts to your friends. Re'ehu. Don't take friends for granted. Chazal have built into Tayag Mitzvos, not Tayag Mitzvos, but into the Mitzvos, is don't take your friends for granted. Oh, it's a very wonderful thing on Purim, I should go collecting for an organization I know nothing about. You see all these kids running around, it's very nice. Staka, I don't even know where the money is going, I don't know who the money, I don't even know what the organization is about. Yeah, it's a good thing to have fun, and you go and you meet people, and you freilach, and you mekar v'choikim. That's staka, very nice. That's a very nice thing to do other times in the year. On Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, whatever it is, different Kufas Project Inspire. But there's a day where you should recognize, you know, you have good friends. Don't take them for granted. You have to be mechazek what you already have. And that's beferish a pasuk. Matanos lo evyon mishloach manish ish lirei'ehu. It's not a day to make new friends. It's a day to be mechazek your old friends.
Absolutely. How would you feel the guy who ripped you off, or he crashed into your car, he doesn't want to pay the insurance, he comes and gives you a $9 mishloach manish.
I want to make up with you.
Hi, be my friend, you know, and give me a good drink of a...
Okay, but let's go further than that. Let's go to a person that caused you $1,000 worth of damage. And he comes on Purim, and he gives you a $1,000 check for the damage. I'm sorry, here's $1,000 for the damage. And in addition, he gives you $100 Mishalach Manos. That's also not Purim. Now, again, Rav Tezner says that is Purim. Rav Tezner is a very big hashkafic machlekes. What is Purim? Is it a day to bridge the gap? So Rav Tezner says, yeah, that's Purim. Purim is, instead of going to your next door neighbor who you're buddy-buddy with, you go every Shabbos to, don't go to your next door neighbor, go to the guy that you owe $1,000, give him the $1,000, and give him a shachmanis for $100. Others say, pum fakert. That $1,000 saved for Erev Yom Kippur. Purim, go to your next door neighbor.
The old explanation for the minhag of Shalom Zocher was that it's called Shalom Zocher because that night it was Mesugel to make peace between people who are not your friends. Because you're so happy with the
simcha.
The simcha that it was
overflows.
Shalom Zocher, that was a
make peace. Okay.
That you
for other people. Okay, interesting idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now Matanos Levyonim, there's a halacha with regard to Matanos Levyonim, which is unique to Yom to Purim. Kol ha'poishet yad noisnim lo. Anyone that asks for, during the whole year, a person comes for a donation, you're allowed to check his credentials. What are your credentials? They advise that if you're only giving a dollar or two, you shouldn't check for credentials. If you want to give, don't even look at the plastic card. It's just humiliating to go look and analyze who gives you the right to collect, and then he has 25 cents. If you don't want to give the 25 cents, don't give. If you want to give 25 cents, don't look at this. Don't be mevazeh. If you want to give a $500 donation, then then you should actually go and check their credentials. On Purim, there's a halach and shulchan aruch that kol ha-poyshet yad nois nimlo. You don't look at anyone's credentials. No one comes around with tzetlach on Yom, on Purim, then you don't have to. That's not halacha. The question is, why not? Why not? What, you're allowed to go waste your money? Why did Chazal build into the law of Matanz Avim kol ha-poyshet yad? So Rav Tezna, it always bothered me. So he actually has a chapter devoted to this, and he says the basic idea is because mitach simcha. Even if the person is a multi, this is a shocking thing that he says, even if the person is a multi-millionaire, Swiss bank accounts, I want money, give me money, and I give him $10, he has hana. Ah, he's a sickness, maybe, right? Purim is about giving people simcha. See, even if it turns out that he's a fraud, and he doesn't deserve the money, midin tzedakah, Purim is a time of simcha. At least he gave him the hana. He only came to you because he has this need to collect money. Whether he needs the money, doesn't need the money, it's a sickness, obviously. To some degree, I want the money. I want more money, more money, more money. He has hana. And I give him, he got the $10. He has gevaldige hana. So you will mekayim simcha. There's an inyan of having simcha on Purim. It's right. You have not fulfilled your obligation. That's right. You have to give another dollar to someone else to make sure. You have to give a few dollars to different people to make sure you mekayim the mitzvah of matanos avyanim, which requires a matanos. You have to give at least enough for a meal. Enough for a meal is about $10, at least $10. That should have a chashva, a good
donuts.
A good meal is probably today a geshmaki meal is probably at least $10. That's probably the low end of a good meal. Okay, you can buy a stale bread for 25 cents also, but a good meal is $10. But it's a shocking concept. Chazal have built into matanos levyonim such a concept of kol ha-poishyat einosim lo. And the explanation is because there's an inyan of being misamech another person. So if even though he may not be a matana, you gave him simcha. During the year, you have absolutely no obligation to be misamech a person, to give him simcha. It's a nice thing, you'll do chesed, you'll put in the category of doing chesed, but not simcha. That's the backup to.
The other way, the guy who gets it should be the simcha that you gave him.
Then you gave him a matana.
It doesn't make a difference what you give him. As long as you give him.
You give him something.
You say, oh, it's not enough.
Okay, next topic. Next short topic. This year, it's again not for us. Maybe it could be for us also. Not likely. Shemitah. We're now in a Shemitah year. So Shemitah, Purim, over Purim spans primarily 2 years. This year, in Eretz Yisrael, is a very big problem giving vegetables. All the vegetables in area that grow in Eretz Yisrael that are not imported, to some degree, are part of a Shemitah. It's a Bezdin, it's going to be a Heta Mechira, it's going to be real Shemitah. There are issues. There are Shemitah issues this year that relate to, because already the vegetables that have been planted in the Shemitah are already in blossom and already on the market. Okay? Kedusha Shvius. Next year, there are going to be issues with fruit. Okay, next year's fruit are going to be a product of this year's labor. I don't know all the product, but that's what it says over here. Then in the Shemitah year itself, the primary issue are vegetables, and in the year after Shemitah, the primary issue are fruits, maybe dried fruits. I don't know exactly what kind of fruits. He's talking about how long the fruits last. Today there's a lot of technology. They can preserve fruits even for 6 months. They do things with a lot of technology. You'd be shocked. What? Not but dry, but don't even fresh fruits. They have this technology where they can preserve fruit, apples. You'll be shocked. You buy an apple in pomegranate or blue ribbon or wherever you shop, you'll be shocked how old that apple may really be.
Even when you taste it,
it may taste fresh. They put a lot of stuff. There's this remarkable technology that is being used today to preserve fruits, to preserve food for a very long period of time. Are you allowed to give mishloach monos with peros shemitah? No, same thing.
You most probably don't have.
If you export. And that's not necessarily true. The narrative show everything. First of all, if you're not giving fruits and vegetables, if you're not giving fruits and vegetables,
has to be, it's a shmita. That's your assumption.
If it's fruits and vegetables, that's why you're not giving fruits. We have issue of wine also. Wine can be an issue.
The assumption is that everything needs.
So there are three different. This is a very big topic. I don't know much. I just want to give you the bare bone Rosh Prokim. He discusses this very quickly. There are three parts to Mishloach Manos: the one who initiates, and it's my first, you're my first, my test run. You're the first recipient of my limit. You only have to give Shalom one to Rishasana. You're the Bikurim. Right? Who is the first person? Ever get a person that says, you're the only one I'm giving Mashallah Manas to? Say that to everyone. Give to 100 people. You're the only one that I'm giving Mashallah Manas. So you give the first, so that's the, you only have to give to two people. Right. You only have to give Mashallah Manas to two people, right? I'm going to one person. Batanas Lev Yonim is two people. Batanas Lev Yonim is two, one, Batanas Lev Yonim, plural, two. Two people, each one gets one item. In Mishloach Manos, one person gets two. So let's say this is the first person. It's the Ikar Mitzvah. Ikar Mitzvah, I'm the initiating. So there's a principle of Mitzvah Slavli Honey Snitnu. I'm not getting any benefit. I'm giving it. I'm not charging. I'm not doing schoira. I'm not doing business with the Paris of Shvius. You're not allowed to use Paris Shvius for business. You can buy it to eat. You can use it for your personal needs. As long as it's available in the fields for the animals, you're allowed to have it in the house. There are an enormous number of leniencies that are applied to the laws of a Paris Shvius. But one thing is certain. You can't go into business. You can't go into business with Paris Shvius. And you can't go tell me Lum is also an esrog. The esrog is, so I'm not charging you for the esrog. I'm charging you for the box. I'm charging you for the plastic. I'm charging you for the overhead. But I'm not charging you for the lulav. You can't answer, use that question when it comes to mishloach manos, because if you're giving the person just the bag and the plastic wrapping, you're not yoytze the mitzvah. I have to give you the actual food to mekayim the mitzvah of mishloach manos ish l'reyu. But it's shmitah, and I'm using it to fulfill my obligation. So it's fulfilling my halach obligation. Mishloach manos, is that considered to be doing business? Poireya choiv, to pay off my debt, which also is an issue with the Paris of Shvius. So the answer is absolutely not, because mitzvah is lav lehones nidnu. We don't look at a mitzvah as a monetary obligation. We look at it as something that's holy. I can use a holy object to be mekayim a holy mitzvah, but that's only true when it comes to the first person. But let's say you have a customer filling up your car with 50 pekloch and going from house to house. So after you do it the first time, you're done. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So who says number 2, 3, 4 and so on is also not, maybe I'm just doing it and it's not the ikar mitzvah. Maybe it's problematic. And what's even a bigger problem is when someone brings you mishloach manos, you open up the door, wow, you're the last person in the world I would expect to receive mishloach manos from. I would never ever knew you've come to me. I have to be polite. I got to give you back. If you gave me, you, would I ever in a million years think of bringing you mishloach manos? Never. But because you brought me mishloach manos, I have no choice.
It's not really that you're giving back. When someone brings you mishloach manos, your wife is the one
who's saying that. Okay, so I'm reciprocating. Is this really called a mitzvah? To the degree that you can say you can use peirois shvius.
So the other problem is when the person's not home and you're leaving it, and if it's perish shavias,
it's going to get bizoyan. It might get garbage. Correct. Okay, so these are the three halacha lemaisa. Everything is mut. Halacha lemaisa will make it across the board. Will make it, certainly. There's no question whatsoever. If it's the first person you mekayim the mitzvah, that's pasha adam o. That there's no problem. Some of them fact fake that if it's the second person already, it's called pareya choyf. It's a business already. It's no longer a pure mitzvah. And certainly some want to say that already it's problematic when you're reciprocating, not because you really would do this, you're shamed into giving mashallah manas only because he gave you mashallah manas. The bottom line is mutter, 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 that's how he paskins. What?
Came from Skyra. I mean, if you're buying parish fees.
No, so you bought it to eat. I bought it for lunch, or, I mean, you're allowed to buy it. I could technically eat it.
You can buy it.
It's a best. Okay, so I could buy it from them, but now I'm only allowed to buy it then for my personal needs. I'm not allowed to buy it for them.
But you can buy it from somebody who's over on the Easter of...
Let's say it wasn't over. Let's say that person was not over. He sold it, but you have to construct the situation where it was purchased by Oifen Heter, and now you want to give it. The bottom line is it's mutter. However, he does go and point out and say there are many Kosum B'Paiskim that today we are in a generation, Baruch Hashem, of recycling. And that expands to Mashallah Manas. And many people have a recycling process. You get Mashallah Manas, you only buy, I need to send 30 packages. I need to send 30 packages. I'm only going to buy 15. And my goal is, when the day is over, to have nothing left. My mother used to say that. The goal is there should be nothing left when the day is over. So you recycle. You get things and you send it off. So problem is, everyone does this. And when everyone does this, in all the shuffle, there's a lot of waste. Most people get Mashallah Manos, it gets, like you said, it gets discarded, you get it, it's leftovers, garbage. It's inevitable. If you're going to give Perish Shvius, some want to say, it's going to go in the garbage. It's going to be disgraced on more than what you would normally do in your own home. If you buy something in the supermarket and during Shemitah, I'm not familiar with the whole process of what happens, how that works, how it's shown, but there's a certain zehirus. You buy Paris during Shemitah, you have to be very careful how to dispose of it. You're not going to be able to maintain that standard when it comes to Mashallah Manos. It's going to be recycled. I'm going to send to someone, it's going to go from here, and therefore they strongly advise that technically there's no problem, but it's not a good idea to use things that are perishvias for Shemitah, in the year of Shemitah, for this year, for vegetables primarily, and next year it is for food. Yeah, I know the sushi, they put vegetables in sushi. Some people like to send sushi, fancy Mashallah Manos. There are a lot of different types of popular Mashallah Manos which do have vegetables and especially dried fruits. Now wine you should know is a problem already. If wine goes on Shasabeir, wine is much more complicated. You have to be very careful. One of the Rabbanim was talking that they have over here on one of the stores, they don't even, it's not a religious store, they're selling very expensive wine very cheap. How are they able to sell it so cheap? It's from the last Shemitah year. Because you're only allowed to have Shemitah wine, Shemitah, until the Zman Beir. The Zman Beir is Pesach, the next year Pesach. After that point in time, you're not allowed to have the wine. They're not allowed to sell you the wine. It's Mamashah. You're doing business with the Paris of Shemitah. Doing business is also for the seller and for the buyer. So there are stores that don't even know what they're doing. They have at a deep discount old wine from last Shemitah, 7 years ago. It's aged wine from 7 years ago, and they're selling it at a very, because it's forbidden. The wine is also, it's Shemitah wine, and Shemitah wine has to be sold by the following Pesach.
So are the people desiring that? How do people know?
Easiest thing is to send a
Heksha.
Hamburger or a
Heksha. Have a little Heksha. Wine that is produced in Eretz Yisrael this year has to be sold by next year Pesach. By next year Pesach. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that's not sold, and that has to be discarded. And unfortunately, some people don't know the halachas. It's out of ignorance, it falls into the wrong. It's going to waste. People get a hold of it. Oh, it's
starting a new packaging made in China.
Okay, let's go to. Okay, let's talk about. We discussed briefly yesterday Haman Tashin. Okay, eating hamin. We discussed yesterday the meaning of eating seeds at night. That does not necessarily mean to eat hamin at night. The meaning to eat the seeds at night, lezecher doniel. Doniel came before the Megillah. Night comes before the Ikar Yom. That's one meaning. Then there's the meaning of eating hamin tashin. He brings over here the Ikar meaning. He traces the meaning of hamin tashin is to eat during the Suda. And it's really part of this custom of eating what's called kreplach. Now kreplach, this minute of eating kreplach, it's not, this, like I told you before, one of the old time hamin hagim. What does that mean?
When you hit.
So, three times a year, Aravis and Al-Khait. Okay, so this comes from the Tamei Hamin Hagim. Okay, the mother of all... Minhagim is Svarim. Sefer Tam Kosav Leminog Shegimel Pamin Bashana Eichlim Levivos. Levivos is another word we call kreploch. And that basically means dough dough that is filled with something.
Yeah.
Something is filled with something.
Yeah,
Purim, Hoshana Rabbah, the Erev Yom Kippur. So he doesn't say this thing. When you have Yiklap, Yiklap Al Chait, Yiklap Hoshanis, and Yiklap Havan, that's when the simon is supposed to eat. But he goes this a little bit further. Why are these things? He explains over here, Shmishum Shashayam Ha'elu Heim Kamo Yom Tov Achil Vashia. They're a partial Yom Tov. It's not a real Yom Tov. There's no Issa Malacha. So Erev Yom Kippur, It's a Yom Tov because of it's Mechil is a mitzvah. It says in the pasuk on the ninth day that you're going supposed to fast on the ninth day. It means that when you're supposed to have a lavish meal erev Yom Kippur. So it's not a real Yom Tov. It's a partial Yom Tov. It's hidden. It's a Yom Tov that is hidden. So we eat foods that are hidden. The insert, the meat is inside the dough. Okay, Hoshana Rabbah is also Yom Hadin. It's Chol Hamoed. So it's not a Yom Tif, but yet it is a Yom Tif. It's Hoshana Rabbah. It's a partial Yom Tif, and Purim is the same thing. It's Mutar B'Melacha technically, but still it's a Yom Tif, and therefore these are the three things. So therefore, according to this interpretation, you're supposed to eat it part of the meal. The minik, it's such a minik. It's not something to make light of. Oh, Hamantashin. No, Taki, you're supposed to eat the Hamantashin. When? During the Suda. Not the Shnash and snack on it. The night, you eat seeds. During the day, you eat kreblach. Now, what is kreblach? So when you make a special type, there's dough on the inside. You can put inside whenever you want. Nothing doesn't have to be seeds. Seeds was in the night before. Now the problem. Now he points out the following thing. He has the following question: why is it in Yiddish it's called homin tashin? Tashin in Yiddish means a kiss. It means a packet, which fits perfectly with the Tameh Hamin Hagin, that it's really kreplach. Kreplach, or it's called levivais, which means it's a dish where you have a kiss. You take dough, and you make dough into a receptacle, and you put something inside. You can put basar, you can put prunes, you can put apricots, you can put seeds, you can put chocolate, you can put basar inside, whatever you want. It's called the kiss. Why is it that in Hebrew it is always translated as the Oznei Haman, the ears of Haman? Like Obama, they always, the cartoons, they always depict.
In Yitzhak Shem, in 2 years, will be eating Oznei Haman.
Obama Tashin, right? We'll call it Obama Tashin.
You read
Oznei Haman.
Exactly like Netanyahu speaking on
Tainus Esther.
Right, so we have.
That's when he's speaking?
So we have to have a Tainus.
So he's going to be here for Purim. Netanyahu is going to be here for Purim? Or is he flying back for Purim? Okay, so it says, so this is a very interesting question. Why the disparity? What went wrong in our religion? Okay, so it's a very interesting question. What went wrong? Why is it in Hebrew? I mean, what's going on over here?
Why is it?
Why? It doesn't really give an answer. It's called Haman Tashin in Yiddish, which means Haman, a kiss. And then in English, in Hebrew, it's Haman Oznei Haman. So he doesn't have, the only thing that he suggests is...
What is it in Ladino?
I don't know. So the only thing he suggests is that Haman really is not, it was a confusion. It really was Mohan Tashin.
Right.
Mohan is a mem. Mohan. Mem, hey, aleph, hey, nun. Mon Tashin. Mon Tashin, which means seeds. Seeds. Right. Tashin means a kiss. Kreplach. So it's part of the minig. You have kreplach. You have a kiss. You have Tashin is a kiss. It was made from dough. And inside the dough, they put the seeds. The seeds, the leftovers from last night. From the night of when they were supposed to eat it. Zecher, when it says in the Ramah for Doniel. And that's what. And somehow, people did not understand this thing called Mon Tashin. They thought it was Haman. And what is Tashin? And Tashin, what is kissing a pocket have to do with Haman? What does that mean? Haman's pockets? Haman's pockets? When he had deep pockets, he was a wealthy man, maybe he was.
He had a lot of money.
So somehow he was. That's right. All the wealth of Haman went to Mordechai, but somehow it turned into this thing called the Ozne ears. Ears, somehow it's not clear why.
The lore has it that Haman had triangular ears.
Yeah, triangular. So it seems like it's a Baba Maisa. Okay.
The Shita that Haman was a Jew, he had horns.
So I'll make a case for fruit filling. Because
Okay, he goes on to say, this is a beautiful idea. He says over here,
so it's got to be right.
We spoke about today the pasuk al tasik gvul reyacha asher gavlu rishonim. So we mentioned the chashivas of a minik. I once told you the beautiful minik from Rabbi Shul Salanter, whose yahrzeit was this past Shabbos. This past Shabbos was the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shul Salanter. Rabbi Shul Salanter was very machnam and hagim. I told the story once, but it was Birchas Geshem, Tfilas Tal, Tfilas Geshem, and there was no kittel. And he stopped davening, and he told them to go and go find the kittel. Tell them take over an hour to bring the kittel. So he said, "What do we have this man hazeh in Golas? Minhagim, it's kedai to wait an hour to be mekayim a minak." Now, along those lines, he quotes Rav Tezner a beautiful story from Rav Yaakov Berlin. Who is Rav Yaakov Berlin? He was the father of the Netziv. Rav Nathan Tzvi Berlin. In his town, there was a custom that starting with Rosh Chodesh Adar, starting tomorrow, in front of the shul, that some would set up a little shop to sell hamantashen. They sell for the minig and the spirit of Purim to sell hamantashen. And one year, this merchant didn't show up. It was Chodesh Adar, and there was no hamantashen in front of the shul, the peddler to sell a few. So Rav Yaakov Berlin, the father of the Netziv, was a very Talmud Chacham, very mechavim and minhagim. He questioned what happened, and he was told that this year there is a shortage of wheat. There's a very great choice, very expensive. They don't even have enough money to bake bread. So we don't have the ability to indulge in luxuries when we don't have the bare necessities. And this Rav Yaakov Berlin was so disturbed over the bittul of a minag Yisrael, he escaped from his own money, an enormous sum of money. Could you imagine such a thing? So that, like, you look in front of a land house, you have all the collectors. It wouldn't be a land house. Can you imagine? You come, you don't have collectors outside.
No more.
They took them away.
No panhandling. No
outside. Yeah, they got rid of them. Okay. So it was so disturbing that the meaning was bottle. He gave from his own money an enormous sum to purchase that they should subsidize hamantashen, and this became a legend. It became a legend in the community, the chavivos of Minhage Yisrael. So when we see hamantashens and we get nauseated, you should know, years ago, they had a hamantashen. It was a chavivos. It was a chavivos, not like they say, umatanos levyonim ish l'reyehu. Don't take your friends for granted. Don't take your friends for granted. Things that may be in abundance, it's not something to take. It always reminds me of the story. I had a neighbor across the street who was a chosid muvok with the Tinkerov, the old Tinkerov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he told me that after the war, the Tinkerov, he went back to his shtetl, where he was. And it was Shabbos. It was Shabbos, and they barely had a minyan. And years ago, when the shtetl was in its prime, it was booming. And they come to the shul is in shambles, and they barely had 10 people. And then, from Musaf, the 10 people, they started making believe there was an oifraf. They made believe. And they started imitating the children, and throwing peklach, and doing reminiscing the children that would run around and make so much trouble and commotion during the good old days. And after they finished, they sat down and they cried. Because now, who was left? 10 old men. All the children that were an annoyance, that were overwhelmed, and quiet, get these kids out of here. They took for granted, before the war, now, Rachmana Litzlan, there are no survivors. So, Minhag Yisrael is something which is davar chov ad mod, and he makes a very powerful point that don't take it for granted. There's hamantashen, different where it comes from. The ikizman to eat, even the tini mashu, is on during the suda, not to nashana during the day. It's part of the suudas poem. A tini teim of hamantashen. The Bel Zareba, zechzad levrach, when he came to Eretz Yisrael with Chanukah, he wanted a dreidel. A dreidel. On Chanukah, you do a minhag Yisrael, you spin the dreidel. So they brought him a dreidel. and the dreidel said, Nes gadol haya po. So he said, smashed in the hain. That's not the way we spun the dreidel. It's not the minog. It has to have a shin, the way we had in the olden days. And he did not let up. They did not let up until they brought from, they searched me from the whole area of the soul, a dreidel that had a shin. They had ordered from China.
We have a saying that we come from my granddaughter. Nora Krapple's good to see. Krapple's only good when it's tight. You know, she's stuck on the dollar. See also means exaggerated or too much. So a Krapple you have to make sure is exaggerated tight. Don't become go overboard with, you know.
Okay, two very quick last things. Number one, bris milah on Purim. When is the proper zman to have a bris milah? Before the Megillah or after the Megillah? After the end of davening. This is one of the major wars in Klal Yisrael. Major machlekes ha-paiskim. When you should make tadir v'shayt tadir require that you do it afterwards. Problem is, what about on Rosh Hashanah? Less man the polig on Rosh Hashanah. The proper time for bris milah is before the shofar. Before you blow shofar. In fact, there's a custom that the dam milah should mingle with the shofar, the moil. If the moil can be the Baal Tokeah, the dam milah, because the zechus of the milah should accompany the blowing of the shofar. The shofar is Hakedah Shal Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the first one in the bris milah. So why should Purim be any different? So some say tader v'sheina tader tader kodem. So it's a machlok. The Ramah says it should be done before. The Ramah says you should do the bris milah and the Beis HaKnesset should be done before Mikra Megillah. It appears that many places can disagree. The Minhag HaOlam is to do it after davening is over. Because maybe there are different factors. And one of the issues, one of the proponents of why it should be done before, it should be done after, is let's look at the blending of the Megillah. It's a very basic question. Why is it that the Megillah is laid after Kriyas HaTorah? The whole year when we lay the Megillah on the Yom Tov, Shir Hashirim, and Rus and Koheles, it's before. So why is Mikra Megillah lane? It's Chumash Megillos. Is the same. So it should be done. It should also be done before. It's a very, very good question. Why? So one answer is because there it's only a minuk. It's only a minuk. The chavivas of a minuk, you do it before. But here it's not a minuk to lay in the Megillah. It's halacha. You have to lay in the Megillah. So halacha, you apply the principle of tadir v'she'enay tadir tadir kaidim. Another answer, which touched upon what we started with, is should you be wearing tefillin? So some say, of course, because you say in the Megillah, why you do my sahara b'simchus l'bikar? Do you really practice what you preach? You should be wearing the tefillin. The same thing, like who do my sahara oira zu tara oira simcha zu yamtif sasain. Zumila. Sasan Zumila. Mila. Sasan Zumila Vikar Elu Hatzfilin. So some use this as a makar that to pump out carrot is that just like Vikar you should lay in the Megillah, you should already have done the Bris Mila before you lay in the Megillah. No, the Torah, I confused that. That's, I'm going to come to the Torah in one moment. Let's think about it. I'm sorry. Oira zu Torah. So that's one of the reasons why this is the exception. Besides the first answer I gave you, minug and halach. Minug, the chadimus of the minug goes first. Halacha, tadir, vishen, tadir. One answer. A second answer. Really, we should lay in the Megillah first. But it says, like this, oira. Oira zu Torah. Oh, you're going to lay in the Megillah. What about the Torah? Where's the Torah? Oh, tomorrow. Later. We'll do Kriyas HaTorah after the Megillah is over. Everyone's running out already. Show that you really mean it. First, you lay in the Torah. So that when you come to the words in the Megillah, Yehudu Ma'isa'ora, serious business. That's right. We're very happy that we have the Torah. In fact, we've laid the Torah before we laid the Megillah. Same thing. And the same reason why we're coming to read the Torah first, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, and you have the tefillin on, you should also have already done a bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses before you do it. Now, there's another reason why there's a very big difference between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, and then Purim. They picked up the Arlis and they threw it to Shemayim. Very good. So that's a very strong reason why you should definitely do the Mila before you lay in the Megillah. Okay, now, on the other hand, On the other hand, what about comparing it? And also, one of the rites was to compare it to Rosh Hashanah. When we do it before the mitzvah sayom, we do it. There's a very big difference. There, you're doing it after shachris. Now, this goes back to the history, which we don't do anyway. Bizman hazeh. It used to be. You ever noticed you say aleinu? You ever notice you say aleinu? I'll say aleinu when the bris milah. When you finish the bris milah, you say aleinu. So why do you say aleinu when the bris milah is over? What is the kiddush levana? Why do you say aleinu? So that he could give you 100 answers. There's a very simple answer. It used to be they did the bris milah after Kaddish Teskabel before Aleinu. Bris milah, today we don't do this anymore. But study the old sources. The Zman of bris milah, you finish Ashrei Uvolatzion, you say Kaddish Teskabel, then you do bris milah, and then you finish davening, and you say the Yoim. It's part of the Seder HaTzvilah. On Rosh Hashanah, you already said Kaddish Teskabel. You said Shachris. You said Kaddish Teskabel. You're already done. So you're already done. Now you've already lained. And now, you'll do the Bris Milah. But if you're going to do the Bris Milah, you can't do the Bris Milah before Megillah. You didn't say Kaddish Teskabel yet. On Purim, you daven Shemona Esrei, Chatzi Kaddish. You lane, Megillah. And then Asher Volatzion Kaddish Teskabel. Oh, you want to hop around and put Bris Milah before you lay in the Megillah? It's too early. You can't do a Bris Milah before you say Kaddish Teskabel. So on Rosh Hashanah, very nice, Yitacha doing the Bris Milah before you do the Shofar. There's a fundamental difference. You're doing it before you do the Shofar because you already said a Kaddish Teskabel on Shachris. But on Purim, there is no Kaddish Teskabel before the Megillah until you get to the end of davening. So don't bring me a raya from Rosh Hashanah. The bottom line is, everyone has a different meaning. Probably today, we live in such a fast-paced world, they anyway don't do the Bris Milah together with davening, like in Eretz Yisrael. You come to a separate ceremony, you don't want to be about Shrech, the people who are running around, and they'll do the Bris Milah probably more often than not at the end. As soon as it's later, okay, but this is, okay, we'll stop here.